better for us than we can plan them ourselves. Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio. I didn't see you for a second. I'm Patrick Slattery. This is Friday, and Fridays often are financial fun filbert Friday, but it's just been, there's been scheduling conflicts lately, so we'll get to that soon. Next week, I'm sure. But today, I'll take callers, and I do want to start off the program by saying, as you all know, on Monday I have Mark Collett from Great Britain come by, and we talk about things. And you might not know that on Wednesdays I go over to his show, and he's got a panel show, and I participate in the panel, and he usually has a guest, often well-known guests. This past Wednesday, day before yesterday, his guest was Jared Taylor, who is a very well-known person. He's somebody who does a lot of work on race realism. And when I say work, I mean serious work. He's able to produce research papers, compile a great deal of data. It's valuable work, and I do appreciate it. He is not known for being particularly forthright, if that's the right word for it, regarding the Jewish issue, and some people take him to task for that. Now, he was our guest on our show, and the idea wasn't to take people to task, but, you know, we talk about things, we debate, and I just thought, if Mr. T is ready, that I'd like him to play the segment of the show where we raise this issue. Are you ready with that? I think it's all queued up.
And I'm an admirer of your great body of work.
Thank you.
On this show, we talk a lot about whites as a group having group interests that need to be enunciated and represented. And there's some controversy over how Jews figure into this. It's my position that regardless of racial characteristics or DNA or whatever, my position is that the Jewish elite's conception of Jewish interests and the behavior of Jews as a group in pursuing those interests is very contrary to the interests of non-Jewish whites. And therefore, as a political scientist, I feel that any analysis of American society or politics needs to consider Jews and non-Jewish whites as separate categories. Do you feel that this is a reasonable approach?
It's not a common approach, and I certainly believe that the Jewish role in Gentile societies is a perfectly legitimate subject of study. And it's unquestionably the case that Jews have been vastly overrepresented in all of these ideologies that have had for their explicit intent undermining the moral foundations of white racial consciousness. I think there are a whole host of reasons for this, historical and otherwise. At the same time, I don't believe that, therefore, all European Jews are, down to the last man, enemies of the white race. I don't think that's the case at all. I think there are Ashkenazi Jews, both in the United States and in Europe, who fully share our views of the destiny of Occidental culture. There are Jews who are sincere men and women of the West, and I believe it's a mistake to write them out of any kind of patriotic movement simply because of the activities of the majority of Jews, or at least the elite groups that represent, that claim to represent Jewish interests. So yes, statistically, Jews, well, given their high IQ, they're going to be highly represented in every field of elite endeavor. And you find an enormous number of Jews who are acting as though they are very diligent about undermining our interests in media and academia. There's no question about that. But again, there are other Jews, for example, in the whole field of research about race and IQ. There have been some very prominent Jews, all the way back to Hans Eysenck, including Richard Herrnstein, Daniel Seligman, Michael Levin, who have taken very courageous positions on studying the reality of racial differences, both in IQ and in other propensities. So we have allies among Jews, and I think it would be a mistake to overlook those allies in the face of the rather larger number of Jews who do not appear to be our allies, who seem very much to be some of our most entrenched opponents. I don't think that it is useful to consider Jews as a consequence of this disproportion of friends and foes as therefore not white or anti-white.
Yeah, well, I didn't say not white, but it was, you know, distinguishing between whites who have, or non-Jewish whites who have a certain set of interests, and the body of interest enunciated by the Jewish elite. And so you're distinguishing between individuals, and of course there's lots of Jewish individuals I admire, and I don't even use the word enemy. I'm not provocative like that, but when we're using the groups as the level of analysis, I think that unless you separate Jews from non-Jewish whites as a group, I'm not talking about individuals, but as groups, you wind up in a situation, you know, like Alex Jones, where you're able to describe a lot of the problems that we're having, even as white people or as a country. You're able to describe a lot of problems, but then, well, why is it that whites are, suffering all of this discrimination in admissions? Why is our situation deteriorating such? Why are the European countries, for instance, just opening up their borders to non-white immigration? And without considering Jews as a factor in this, the Jewish group interests, you wind up with explanations like, well, liberals are just stupid, or, you know, Alex Jones might say, well, you know, there's this secret Bilderbergers or something like that. And I just find that it's very difficult to have any kind of explanation that makes sense without bringing up perceived interests of Jews as a group, and of course their powers.
Well, you agree that it makes sense to distinguish between the positions and the activities of Jewish elites and individual Jews. At the same
Absolutely.
Time, well, then we are constantly distinguishing between the activities of white Gentile elites and ordinary Gentiles. White Gentile elites are, as far as their aggregate actions are concerned, are very much the same as Jews. Jews may be more determined about it, but if you're talking about white elites, there's not a single elite group, whether it's in academia or in churches or in the media or in finance or business ownership, that defends our interests. They behave just like any elite that you could characterize as Jewish. At the same time, if you are suggesting that if we can imagine a Western heritage or Western civilization without the presence of Jews at all, would we be facing this problem? I'm not sure we would not be facing this problem. If you look back at the history of purely Gentile, insane egalitarianism that does not have a palpable Jewish influence, you can certainly find it. The French Revolution, with all of its craziness, not much in the way of Jewish influence there. The abolitionist movement, the United States, mad women like Angela and Sarah Grimke, who really wanted to free the blacks and set them up as political and social equals of whites. There's no Jewish influence there at all. We are, I think, a particularly vulnerable people in terms of trying to be fair-minded to a fault. And other people are very good at exploiting that weakness. And Jews are very intelligent. And if they perceive that their own narrow interests are in conflict with ours, there are certain Jews who, just like there are blacks and Hispanics and every other group, who will see our weaknesses and exploit them. I don't think that Jews are necessarily any different in that respect, but it is unfortunate that you have this overrepresentation of Jewish activity in those areas that have been some of the most difficult obstacles to our survival.
And I don't want to turn this whole podcast into a discussion on this issue, but you know, when you mention white elites, and of course the behavior of white elites has been very contrary to the interests of whites as a group, which I think was a point you were making.
Yes.
But you think of, say, white political elites and their vulnerability or susceptibility to pressure from, say, political donors, who are, if you look at like the Washington Post statistics or, you know, the Federal Election Commission data, overwhelmingly, I mean, especially at the presidential level, Jewish money is so overwhelmingly overrepresented, and you think of the media power, and then you think of the fact that, for instance, intellectuals like us on the panel, we are subject to all sorts of repression that a Jewish individual who was voicing Jewish interests certainly would not be. That's why I think. There's all sorts of other factors. I'll grant there's all sorts of other factors, but that's why I think that you just have to have, you have to bring in Jewish group interests into any explanation of the problems that we're facing.
Well, that's a choice that people are certainly free to make. I think that some people become absolutely obsessed with the role of Jews. They begin to think of Jews the way many black people seem to think of whites, that if it rains on their birthday party, somehow it's white people who are to blame. It's certainly true that Jews have been very active in many different movements, but I think it becomes almost a crutch. People wish to blame the nefariousness of others for their own failings. If whites had a healthy, firm sense of their own legitimacy, then the influence of Jews would not be the influence of that group of Jews would not be nearly as strong. And people then can go on into the Daily Stormer. I think that Andrew Anglin, although he absolutely deserves a platform on the internet, I believe his analysis of the whole Jewish role, there's a grain of truth to it, but I think ultimately it's not correct and not a useful position to take. So there is, of course, to ignore Jews completely, I can see that one would object to that, but the arguments in our defense are going to be absolutely the same whether a Jewish person is arguing against us or a Gentile is arguing against us. And to simply point out, well, you're taking this position because you're Jewish, that's not going to win you any argument points. In fact, most people are going to think, what's with this? And then if you start saying, well, you think this because you're Jewish, or you have a Jewish interest that's different from a broadly white interest, then your argument opponent then becomes the potential victim of the case. So I'm not sure it is necessarily useful to point out this person is a Jew, that person is a Jew, this person, this influence is Jewish, because ultimately the arguments we have to make are going to be the same no matter who's making those arguments.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Well, that was certainly a question that the audience were very much wanting to ask. In fact, there was about 50 questions instantly about the JQ. And I'm pleased we've talked about that. And it's something I obviously have my opinions on this. I obviously appeared on a debate with Halsey English on Andy Worski's channel, where I debated the role of Jews in Western society. And the only thing that I'd add to this, which I would say is a very important thing to add, that I believe that one of the main driving forces of our downfall as a group of people has been the influence of cultural Marxism. It's been the influence of feminism. It's been the influence of the Frankfurt School on the West. And I believe that, yes, there have been plenty of whites who have been involved in the downfall of white society. But I do believe many of these ideas that have infested our minds, well, they were started by a particular group of people. And whether you look at cultural Marxism, whether you look at communism, whether you look at the ideas of equality, whether you look at the man who invented the term racism, whether you look at feminism, these people all have a common ancestry. They're all part of a particular group. And I do draw inference from the fact that this particular group plays a hugely disproportionate role in all of the bodies, groups, and organizations that seem most committed to destroying our society. And I do believe that a lot of those people think they will profit from doing that. But what really cements their role in this, in my mind, is that whilst they do this in the West, they have a completely different approach to life in their own homeland, Israel. And in Israel, they will openly advocate for an ethnostate, and they are passing new laws, or have just passed new laws, to enshrine Israel as an ethnostate, to make it more of an ethnostate, to make the laws in Israel favor those particular people. And I'm not against them doing that in many ways. It's just I'd like to adopt that model for me here in England. I'd like the English to have an English ethnostate. Because here in England, as you all know, we have lost our capital. We have lost our second largest city. And there are many other cities which will soon be lost to the English. But there are no protections for the indigenous English people. And the people who wish to take many of those protections away, or have taken those protections away, would seek protections for themselves in the state of Israel. It's that hypocrisy I like to point out. But, you know, we all have different opinions on this. I don't want to make the whole show about this, because we have
And
so
I'm not going to make this whole show about this. But let's go to Wayne from West Virginia. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how are you this wonderful day? Can you hear me okay? I'm fine, thank you. A couple of things I wanted to bring up, and I don't know, did you see the documentary on Frontline?
Which documentary are you referring to?
Well, there was a documentary on Frontline, which is PBS Network, and it was on Charlottesville.
Oh. Is this brand new, or was this from some weeks or months ago?
No, it's fairly new.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted to hate white people, all you had to do was watch that documentary. Matter of fact, after watching it, hell, you start hating yourself.
Wow.
But they even went as far as to take pictures of the demonstrations, and they found that one young man was in the Marine Corps, and he was, I guess they said he was part of the Nazi group, Nazi party, and they even notified the Marine Corps so they could get him kicked out of the Marine Corps, which they did.
Right. It's my understanding he had his pay docked. I don't know if he was, I guess he might have been demoted. I don't think he was discharged.
Well, the way I understood the documentary that he had been discharged. But I, okay. You know, wrong. Either way,
yeah.
You know, they went out of their way to try to ridicule him. But It was a one-sided documentary. Matter of fact, The Deal in the Garage, they showed the black guy that hit the old man. They didn't show that. They just showed him with a bloody head and
that's hell. That's your tax dollars at work.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, we're about to go to break. Do you want to stay on? Let's talk.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and Wayne from West Virginia. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
But anyway, after watching that documentary, like I say, if you wanted to hate yourself and white people, you know, you could watch it. But what I did, the second thing I wanted to talk about was the election, and it's coming up and how it really works. You, Mr. Voter, he gets to go out, or she gets to go out, and she gets to vote for her favorite candidate. And, of course, he or she thinks, well, once I get my candidate elected, then I got someone to represent me. I'm the priority. Well, what happens is, in the real world, we give Israel billions and billions and billions of dollars, and I think it's equaled up to trillions at this point. But what would keep them from taking a few millions of those dollars, which would be a small token, from the billions, and they come back and they can buy our politicians, and they're probably fairly cheap, probably
$1 million. They're cheap.
Politicians.
And they're easy.
So they come back and they buy our politician. Now, that politician of yours, Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter. It goes right on up the line to the top. You're not their priority anymore. Their priority is Greater Israel. So they serve their Israeli masters at your expense. Now, don't forget that was originally your money that you paid your taxes and gave to the Federal Reserve. And then all they have to do is say, well, we need X amount of billions. And then your elected official then votes to give them these extra billions. And, of course, you realize that Israel is our first line of defense there in the Middle East, and they're there to protect us. But they're really there to protect themselves. They could care less about us. Matter of fact, I would say in the future when Israel gets done sucking everything they can out of America, they'll wipe their cells on your flag as they leave. So that's what's really happening out there, from my opinion, and that's my opinion only. And I can be wrong, and I'm sure there's some of the listeners out there saying, my God, where's that guy coming from? I mean,
well,
so
I mean, the idea that you know, we're giving them billions of dollars, and how much does it take to effectively bribe the politicians to vote for billions of dollars each year? It doesn't take that much. There's a magazine called The Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, and it keeps running tabs on donations from AIPAC to various congressmen. And
it's going on. I mean, no question.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair amount of money, but it's not billions of dollars. It's not billions. They get a very, very good return on that investment. Now, of course, there's a lot of Jewish money that goes into elections, not through AIPAC, but directly from donors. But still, your basic point is really valid, that it's so cheap, it's so easy for them to buy our politicians, and they get this massive return, not just in the aid to Israel, but in all sorts of other policies, like the open borders, like...
Well, that plus if they want the interest rate to go up on... Of course, you give the Federal Reserve your money, then they loan it to the banks at a low... their banks at a low interest, and then they charge you, you know, the high interest rate. And so you're paid one way or the other. And, of course, maybe some of that money that you paid in interest to the banks, maybe some of that money goes to buy the politician that you just elected. And
that's another good point. That's right.
And so the beat goes on. And you got to remember, Israel, you know, they say, oh, well, Israel built a wall. Well, they may have built it, but you paid for it. And I think we have to realize that as long as we have Zionism running around the world, footloose and fancy free, we will never have peace and harmony in the world as we would like to have.
That's absolutely right. Okay, well, thank you for your call, Wayne.
You're welcome, and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. But my last comment would be, there's probably, it's not the Jewish guy down the road or the Jewish guy down at the store that you may buy your suit from. You know, he's trying to just get along like everybody else. So, but it's the organized Jewry that, you know, is responsible for all the chaos throughout the world. Thank you and have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Okay, and I'll be back after the break. By the way, our number is 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and Paul from New Jersey. Paul, how are you doing?
Hello, Patrick. Patrick, I want to take umbrage, or at least express my disappointment with Jared Taylor. I don't know about him, whether he's an intelligence groupie. You know, as he likes to, you know, he's an intelligent man, so he thinks Jews are the end all and be all of intelligence, and that runs contrary to one of Jared Taylor's maxims, when he said, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, only we can be us, and we have a right to be us. And so he tries to blur the lines, and I guess he thinks we can just invite Jews into the white community and say, you are now for Europeans. Good standing and a part of the club. What he fails to realize, Jews might not consider themselves part of our club. They might not be acting in our interest when they're in Europe and or in the United States or in white nations, and history has proven them to be absolutely hostile to the white majority wherever they've gone. That's why they've been thrown out of about 168 nations over, historical records and over time. Also, I would like to remind Mr. Taylor, you know, first of all, the work of Kevin MacDonald and the culture critique, and who basically proves without a doubt the Jewish hostility for white Gentile societies. But also, in the Bolshevik Revolution, our friendly, loving Jews basically applied what I believe Talmudic principles in an evolutionary sense to murder off the smartest of the Gentiles, and that's why the communists would murder off the middle class in the basements and cellars that the Cheka operated. Also, I do believe that the Jews were the primary force behind the Katyn massacre, also selecting against the intelligent whites by slaughtering the Polish officers out in that forest. So just because Jews work collectively and according to their holy book, the Talmud, to murder off the smartest Gentiles, I don't understand why Jared Taylor puts them up on a pedestal and instead wants to do the right thing and settle old scores with them. Because I argue, despite the nonsense about the Holocaust and the so-called 6 million dead, I do believe there has never been, and by the way, that would be go along with Mr. Solzhenitsyn in his book, The Gulag Archipelago, that there has never been an accounting for those communists. They never got held to trial the way the Germans did. There were never Nuremberg hearings for what happened in the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. And many of those Jewish mass murders got away with their crimes and lived long lives, like Lazar Kaganovich, who murdered off the Ukrainians by starving them to death. See, and that's where I think Jared Taylor absolutely fails. He seems to worship Jewish intelligence more than his own people, and therefore I think we need to reject him. I'd like to hear what you think about that, Patrick.
Well, you know, leaving the rejecting him aside for a second, like all the points you were making, I think are all valid points, points that I would make and often do make. Although, you know, there are certain things you know more about than I do, like the Kagan, whatever it was, the field in Poland, which maybe you were the person who edified me on in the first place. For the past several years, you know, from time to time, I've mocked Jared Taylor a little bit. Not, I don't think maliciously, but, you know, he has particular speech mannerisms and, you know, the white people. I've used that kind of in fun and in jest. I've been disappointed that somebody who has as much information and as much as he does, as much research ability as he obviously does, and as analytical mind, and also he speaks very well. One of the things that was kind of embarrassing to me while I was playing this clip earlier in the hour was, you know, he speaks in very good sentences and I stammer and stutter a lot. But he, you know, it's been very disappointing to me that he wouldn't talk about Jews unless asked. And when asked, he'll say, well, of course, they're going to be elite because of their intelligence, this type of thing. And after the 2-hour podcast with him on Wednesday, I thought, you know, if I could be wrong on this, but if you don't ask him about Jews, he doesn't talk about Jews. And if he's not talking about Jews, you know, he's able to somehow maintain enough of a donor base that he can put on some conferences where there's useful things being discussed. And he did have Kevin MacDonald at one of his last conferences. And he puts out some good research on issues that I don't think is a central issue, because I'm sure we agree that the Jewish power is the central issue, but that are still important. So I left the couple of hours just thinking, okay, well, let Jared Taylor be Jared Taylor, and probably don't ask him about Jews. And if he's not asked about Jews and doesn't talk about Jews, then just let him do his thing. There are people who think, well, maybe he's being paid off by the Jews, and maybe he's too pro-Jewish. You know, there are like Alex Jones is in the news a lot right now because of the deplatforming of him. And I think he's said all sorts of taken all sorts of ridiculous positions in the past. But I think it would be useful for us to have some solidarity with him on this issue of deplatforming, because we could get a lot out of it. But Alex Jones is somebody who I would say has been purposely a distraction. You know, people don't have to ask him anything, because he just talks and talks and talks. And he has talked up so many distractions that I think a very reasonable person could think he's a net negative for us. I mean, a lot of people go to him first and then get curious and seek out better explanations, which I think we have. But as for Jared Taylor, that was my impression at the end of the podcast, is let him do what he does, and the less he talks about Jews, the better. What do you think of that?
Well, that's what I find disappointing about Jared Taylor. Now, for one, I do like his southern gentlemanly speech and his affectations. I enjoyed his book, Paved with Good Intentions, back in the 90s when I read it. I thought he did a very good job there. So I like him. I think he is culturally edifying by his class, because he is kind of classy. However, there's that, like I said, he seems to be wanting to keep the peace with Jewry, and by doing so, you're stifling the truth at the same time. And in a sense, he is alienating, I believe, the true white nationalists in the same extent, because and by the way, I confronted Jared Taylor back in at one of the American Renaissance conferences, because here he was, he's up on the platform and he's going off about the media, and I basically stood up and said, when you're complaining about the media, it's run by Jews, so and then it got into a kind of exchange, which I'm somewhat embarrassed about, because somebody uploaded it to YouTube. But nonetheless, I don't see why you should, you got to man up and engage the issues. And also, he's a geneticist, and he should know that I think the fact would be that me as a mixed European, right, some Southern European, some English ancestry, I have more genetically in common with the Russians or Polish who were mass murdered by the Jewish Bolsheviks than I will with Jewish Bolsheviks. So, one of the implications of, Frank Salter's book on the selfish gene. No, that's actually Dawkins. Salter's book is called On Genetic Interests, is that you would stand up with for the people most genetically closest to yourself. And so I take the side of the Russians and the Polish. And so, as I said, there are old scores to be settled. They'd never been held accountable. And just as Jews lay the collective guilt on we Gentiles, even though even Americans for not accepting the St. Louis and not rescuing the camps fast enough, right, we should be laying the guilt on Jewry for their role in the Bolshevik Revolution and their overrepresentation with the Zinoviev's, Trotsky's, etc., for the crimes and the stagnation and destruction of Russia under their leadership. And so that's where Jared Taylor fails, I believe. I don't see, maybe his long-term strategy is, gain friends with the Jews, kind of like Alex Jones. I believe this could be with him too, is to keep the peace for now, but then turn on them later. But it's been 20 years, and they still haven't turned on him.
Well, how about Yeah, now Alex Jones, he in complaining about his deplatforming, seemed to point a finger. Well, you know, he's talking about the media, he's talking about a lot of things, but then in summation seemed to be pointing a finger at the Chinese communists. Is that the new dog whistle for Jews? I mean, like,
the Chinese are running Hollywood. No, I think he's trying to dupe his followers into whatever war the neocons want. And he's trying to marshal Gentile soldiers to die either against China or against Iran for the good of the globalist agenda. I think he is a complete sellout. And we need to call him out on that, too. And I believe this deplatforming has been very good for him. It's gotten him more attention, more listeners. And one last thing. He deplatformed me on his website, by the way, when I said the innocuous remarks that and was denied posting privileges because I said that I believe white people are more handsome on his website. And I was denied posting privileges. So to me, he's a complete hypocrite. He's thrown off so many of his people off his website and fired his employees who didn't go off his agenda. Because after 9/11, and by the way, I believe 9/11 was heavily a Mossad job, and I invite you to invite Christopher Bolin on your show to discuss it. But I believe the Israelis had a very heavy role in 9/11. And again, Jared Taylor, Alex Jones, you claim to be truthers, you claim to be nationalists and good Americans. You know, go down that, follow the truth, and when you see that so many of the people in the key positions, the Chertoffs, the Pearls, all the rest of these people, the Silversteins, don't blame it on the Chinese. It's not a Chinese name in the bunch, right? Wasn't the Chinese that walked off with $4.1 billion after 9/11? That was Mr. Larry Silverstein.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe Chinese communists is another way of saying European-style socialists. You know, it could become our new catchphrase, or fellow whites.
Hey, by the way, you sounded good there. Why don't you start, like, grunting like a gorilla and hope you get more listeners?
I might do that.
Anyway, thank you, Patrick, for... Yeah.
Okay, hey, thank you for your call, Paul.
Yeah, thank you for hearing me out. Thank you, Patrick.
Okay. All right. So our switchboards are open. So once again, the line, the number here at RBN is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And next week, I'm going to be having a discussion with Richard Sloan all about the Chinese. You know what? I won't go into that too much right now. So this is an important, you know, it's always an important issue because myself, Dr. Duke, many, and Paul, obviously, see the most important issue as being this domination of our society in America and also the societies in Europe by a Jewish elite that is hostile to the interests of the native majority Europeans or European Americans. And when I say the elite, it's an elite that is by and large supported by the Jewish masses. Now, you can certainly make the case, and probably correctly, that the Jewish masses are just as brainwashed as the white masses. But at any rate, there is a bit of collective guilt. I'm not trying to spread collective responsibility. There is a responsibility, a far-ranging responsibility that goes beyond the elite. But when you say responsibility, what is the penalty for that responsibility? Certainly, you know, I don't know. It's I'm not a vengeful type. Let's talk to Chris from South Africa. Chris, welcome to the show.
Good day, Dr. Slattery. Afternoon.
Good day, Chris.
Good morning. Time, big time difference, but never mind. I was on your show a while back, just a fleet minute or so before the show closed, and I called everybody idiots, you know, Americans and South Africans. You remember that. I listened to the gentleman now that was talking. No, I realize now. I understand. It was very quick and fast because I battled to get through in a few times and rushed in here in the last minute. But I haven't been on the show this afternoon. I walked in late and heard parts of it. The gentleman speaking.
Can you hold on until after the break and then?
Yes, that's right. I hear it.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Chris from South Africa. Chris, you've got the floor. Chris, you still there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Hear me? Okay. I don't know what happened there. Somehow you couldn't hear me. Sorry.
Okay.
I listened to the part of what I think it was Paul, the previous gentleman that called in, was talking about. Mm-hmm. And the white man of this world has got a tremendous crisis, and I think the Americans better sit up, and so many people have said this before, but they've got to look at South Africa with a different eye, with a different mindset. We've got to change our mindset as well. South Africa is just an experimental case, a basket case for the world, and whatever's going to happen in South Africa, if they kill off of the 4 million left there, or there's not really 4 million white people left, but if they kill off three quarters of them at one night or in 1 or 2 days, the world is going to turn a blind eye to it and say, oh, yeah, you apartheid, you racist buggers, you know, and the media will be completely full and nobody will try and stop them. All the stories and that. We've got a crisis. We need a new mindset. We need we need a new value system. As white people throughout the world, all the different white tribes need to adhere to a new single value system which binds us so that nothing can go wrong. One tribe can't go off one side and go and work with the enemy that side, and then in 100 years the one tribe does and does that again. The other tribes should just wipe them out then. That is how harsh it should be. Otherwise, we've got a crisis, and we have a crisis at the moment that mm-hmm. we are going to be annihilated. I strongly believe that when the next world war comes and the Americans shoot off, well, look, in the 80s there was around about 90,000 atomic weapons, around about 50,000 or whatever worldwide that could be sent around by ICBMs, etc. They've got a lot of people believing there's only about 6,000 in America and 7,000 in Russia and all these little figures in that, and that the Jews maybe have 400 or 600 atomic weapons themselves. I think when the next war comes, the white man's going to have a shock because the Americans are going to be pressing the button. Like Trump says, he's got this big red button, no shame. Pressing this button, press the button. Oh, my God, what's happening? There's only one or two that went off. Oh, my God, just enough to irritate the other bloke to shoot off a couple, and there's a couple of our cities destroyed. Why aren't the others flying? And the Jews have taken control because they control America from top to bottom. They control most countries in the world. They probably know every code that there is already. And then they're going to turn all those weapons against the rest of the world. They're going to take them over. And whenever anybody in the world stands up or sits up and says, no, we're not going this way, that way, they blast another city or two that's left, take it off the face of the earth, and that's how they're going to force us into submission and then bastardize us that we do not exist. We need to learn the actual history and not the falseness that we've been taught for hundreds of years, and especially in the last 50 years or 100 years about the Jews, their heritage, or where they come from, etc. They've hated the Germanics from the time eternity when they were created. They keep saying that we are anti-Semites. A Semite is somebody that hates any other race but himself. Mm-hmm. That is a Semite. Well, they say it openly.
Chris, we're
at the end of the show.
We're at the end of the show, but you know something? I would really, really like to ask you a lot of questions about South Africa. So please call in again sometime and call in early in the show.
It's awkward, my time that I work, but I will try, Dr. Slattery. Have you got an email address I can contact you at Bugle Radio? Is there one there?
Nationalbugle.com.
I got it. Thanks, bye.
I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.